fire code.
Yeah, sorry, guys. We have to make room for the headliner.
Cow catcher, right?
Yes. Gotta clear up. Okay. Here we are. And it's all there. And you guys follow me? Okay.
All right. You need quick move. You need one more 2 years for the road. Come on.
Got
that? I'm gonna be careful.
Shit, my phone.
What?
My phone. I'll
catch
up.
I got you.
Thanks.
Excuse me, y'all. Oh, shit.
You call the cops.
Fuck that.
Hey, stop, motherfucker!
We get high in backseats of cars. We break into mobile. Sleep to shake a pill, never wake up on our own. And that's the way we get by, the way we get by. All that's the way we get by, the way we get by.
I was re-listening to this album over the weekend, and Noel was dancing himself a storm for like the first four tracks. And I'm like, yeah, this album opens well. I saw them live like pre-pandemic.
Fuck,
and I'm like,
off.
They were opening for the show I went to go see Beck.
Opening
in the Beck show.
Wow.
So yeah, that was awesome. Anyways, hi, welcome to the Unlimited Podcast.
This is Damian.
And this is Douglas.
And outside of making Douglas finally smile with playing music that we all love, we're here to gather together to discuss a film from the year of 2011, directed by one Mr. Alexandre Cortez. The name of the film is Asylum Blackout.
We had studio time, booked and paid for.
All right, Max, come on.
Totally forgot.
Thank you. Yeah, you're welcome.
You! Go to the end of the line!
Everything cool?
Yeah. Asylum Blackout. That makes us ask the question, how much money do they need to pay you for you to go and help them put the men back in the cells? Anyone have an answer?
I think it's around $23,000.
Oh, yeah. $23,000.
It's on eBay.
Yeah.
Oh. Anyways, Douglas, why don't you tell me something about Asylum Blackout?
No. Okay. Asylum Blackout. It's, as you said, it's a movie about putting people back in the cells. It is a horror movie. Came out in 2011. It is about an asylum. It is about a blackout. It is about an incident that happened during an asylum blackout. By the way, this movie is also known as The Incident, depending on, I guess, where you live. This movie is... When I was watching it, it felt like I was watching a horror movie from the 80s directed by John Carpenter, right? It gave me that kind of vibe, and I assume it was quite intentional. They've created for themselves in the film a closed network, right? A very... small number of characters and a very tight space for them to be in. And it is really about what happens when there's a blackout in an asylum and all the inmates are not quite in their cells yet. So the only guard in the asylum, apparently, at least the only one that takes his job seriously, needs to enlist the... Are we going to call them the band or are we going to call them the cooks? Which one?
The cooks.
But the cooks. So the people that we really see a lot of that we engage with are the people that cook the meals for in the asylum. and they are enlisted. You could say they're deputized to wrangle some of the inmates. And as you can imagine, things go awry. I feel like this movie is a pretty serviceable 80s horror movie that wasn't actually made in the 80s. It feels pretty... It's pretty straightforward. There are definitely some, I wouldn't say jump scares, but some decent shock horror. Like, there are some fairly graphic scenes in this movie. But there's not a whole lot to say because this is actually quite a simple concept. It could have veered towards Velociraptor territory, and in some ways it does, but it really isn't a proper Velociraptor movie, and Damien will understand what I'm talking about here. You don't see the main characters really picked off one by one, at least to the extent that you'd kind of consider it, this is definitely a proper Velociraptor movie. I mean, this does follow that formula of let's try and divide and conquer. But I just feel like there is a certain intensity, maybe not intensity, because this movie does have intensity. But there is a certain level of, I don't even know what to call it, but it you don't feel like they're being picked off too much, yeah. Right? Things happen, and I mean, spoiler alert: people die in a horror movie. But especially because it's actually a small number of cooks; it's four of them, and to be honest, we only probably close to like two or three of them, so it doesn't feel like it's not that usual scenario where you have the group of four, then all of a sudden the group of three, then all of a sudden the group of two, and then there's this brooding, this dread that comes from knowing that your friends are being taken one by one by the clever girls. But this movie, though, I did quite enjoy it. And I did want to at least point out one thing. I'm sure that you guys were aware and figured it out. But this movie is written by a friend of ours. It's written by one S. Craig Zoller.
I didn't know this until I pressed play on the movie. And then when I saw the name, I went, that's why he picked it.
Yep, 100%. And he is the fellow that brought us a few, decent movies. They're okay. One by the name of Bone Tomahawk. The other by the name of Dragged Across Concrete. And I cannot wait for... And I have no clue what this movie is going to be, but his next opus is supposed to be Hug Chicken Penny. But I really want to watch more and more of this fellow's work. This movie was really good. I thought really compact, concise. It was about an hour and a half. The one, if I had to nitpick, and this is me, because let's be clear, this movie is not great, right? This movie is just a particular type of movie, and it's fun. I enjoyed it. But if I had to nitpick, I would say that this movie has an ending that perhaps doesn't need to be there. We could have done without or done with a different one. But all in all, I don't have many notes for this movie. It was a pretty decent time. And the teams didn't necessarily play hard, but they played the tune that they were given. So I'll give it that. One last thing, though. I think that us as Jamaicans need to recognize that we must enjoy this movie. It is a rite of passage. because they clearly hired as one of the actors our national hero Marcus Garvey himself. So all praise to Mr. Garvey, Sir Garvey.
Did you ever find out who that was in the movie?
No, I should actually check. I have the page in front of me.
I believe he's one of the band members.
I would imagine so if he got top billing. Marcus Garvey is William. He's the drummer, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you folks think?
Damien?
Why do I have to talk about this movie? This movie is mediocre. When the movie started, it wasn't clear. Like, they were making food, and the guy like cut his finger, and there was like blood and stuff. And I was like, okay. And then you didn't realize, because they were talking about being in a band, so you didn't realize that they were going to this insane asylum. The title kind of gives it away if you get one of the titles, but whatever. And I was like, oh, is the horror from this movie going to be like one of these guys like gets a taste for blood, and then like it turns into like one of those where, you know, it makes one of these crazy people more crazy, and they're like going off and being, as Douglas said, velociraptors and like picking off people and trying to like identify like where did this blood come from or whatever it is. And then they had, you know, a blackout, as the title suggests. And there was the guard that takes his job very seriously. Wow. And then there was just this other guard that only showed up so that two inmates could immediately murder him. And you're like, all right, I think I know what this movie is going to be now. It is going to be these guys, you know, trying to fend off these crazies. So, you know, what is it that they're going to do? What is the hook? What is, like, the thing that is going to be special about this movie? Like, and the answer is nothing. Like, they run and hide until they're caught. And then they run and hide. And there's, like, some situations that are extremely convenient so that they can make their way to another part. And you're just like, okay. And then at the end of the movie tries to be like, well, we just made you watch this boring movie. But what if, hear me out, guys, there's a twist. And when the movie ended, I was just like, this feels now like something Shyamalama would do. Is this person related to Shyama in any way? And then checked, and it was one of my favorite directors, so I got very upset. Because while his other movies aren't he's not doing anything unique, like not telling like this wildly unique story or whatever. It is the execution. Like, he's telling these stories that have been told many times, but his execution in telling those stories made it feel more gritty or more fun or whatever it was. And this movie just didn't have any of that. It just felt... there's just this, it, this movie, like, it didn't make me upset or anything. It, there's just nothing. Like, you there's times you just watch a movie and I, this feels like a movie Steve Netflix would give me, where you're like this is the name of a director, there is the name of some actors, it is on Steve's Netflix, and then you watch it and you're like, I could have done without watching it. I don't know why this was made so that Netflix could feed the algorithm a movie to show to other people. There's something missing from this movie, but it's also like it's barely a horror movie, so I don't know how. Maybe there's people who like Andrew who pretends to love horror movies that will be like no, you know, it did something for me or whatever. There's were there any jump scares in this? I don't think so.
I'm just doing a genre check here in the background. It's still a horror movie.
Yeah, there is nothing.
Even if there's no jump scares, it's still a horror
movie. Yeah, there was nothing like extremely gory. Like, there's nothing about this movie that I found, you know, in any way remarkable. And this movie feels inoffensive. Which that's not a movie you want to watch. It's like, hey, come watch this movie. And it's from this guy who, especially that first movie, is so spectacular that I just anticipated that all his movies would have something, you know, some kind of flair, something to like hook you in.
Yeah, and I think that something that's important, because you say, you know, something might be missing, and that a lot of his stories are regular stories, but there's something special about them. And you kind of wonder if the fact that he didn't actually direct this movie, he only wrote it. He wrote it, and it was directed by somebody else, by Alexander Cortez. If that has something to do with it, similar to how we talk about, you know, if Yorgos writes and directs, it's a problem, but if he only directs, then perhaps...
Then it can be good.
Exactly. Yeah. You know? So maybe there was something lost in translation, which is why... And a lot of what you're saying, I would agree with. Yeah. And even, you know, I can see where you're going in terms of saying, hey, it's mediocre. And I guess that's kind of what I'm saying too, except that I'm just like... But this is my kind of mediocre. Yeah, but because it's, as I said, it's nothing special. But
yeah.
I watched it and I was like, okay, this works.
This is remarkable. This is unexpected, because number one, I'm more on Douglas's side than Damien's. I'm with Douglas. Like, I feel like this movie... So we can keep banging the Craig Zahler drum, but I view this movie no differently than if we were talking about anybody's first time film. Because in the scheme of things, looking at his history, like, this movie came out 4 years before Bone Tomahawk, right? No one had seen a Zahler film. This is like he handed the script over, as Douglas said, to this director and said, make this movie. And so much of me watching this movie is me seeing the beginnings of what we've seen in movies like Bone Tomahawk, Brawl in Cell Block 99, Dragged Across Concrete. I feel the complete discomfort in the violence that is there, right? And that's where I kind of see the horror genre in this movie. It's not necessarily a horror movie like we're talking about Alien being a horror movie. But I can see the horror in just the general... violence and fright that these characters are under, right? And it works as a thing. Now, is it as effective as all the other movies we're going to name talking about Craig Zahler? No. But kind of going back to Douglas's road, it's like that nice first taste that I accept it as, right? And it does me the great joy of being 90 minutes and not barely wasting a minute of it. We kind of talked about the ending and we can debate that, but barely wasting a minute of the night. When a movie rolls in and they're like, I've got you an 85 minute runtime, you're like, me and you are going to have a good time. Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of the way I looked at this movie. And actually, I was correct. It's actually 85 minutes. On IMDb. Like, I enjoyed my time with this movie. It didn't try to do anything too overly complicated. it didn't try to do more than it could. It found its in nice sweet spot for what the movie is, and then it just went. And it was perfectly fine with all of that. I even liked all of the stupid cook like you guys talk about I didn't even realize until the movie in its old ending thing brought it up again. I'm like, oh wait, it's because he seasoned the meat with blood. Uh-huh. I didn't even realize that stuff. And I found it hilarious at that point. Right? I was sold on the silliness of this movie. It's fine. You can spend a lot of time if we want to talk about it, talking about like, do you think the Stormer is real? Do you think all of this actually happened, or do you think he was all a dream? And that's the part of the movie I'd put in a bin and never talk about.
Okay.
But if we just kind of talk about the first 80 minutes of just the band goes to cook, and then the prison has a blackout and they have to survive this, I enjoyed myself. That's all I wanted from this movie. And then I got the added bonus of seeing Zala's name on it when it started. I'm like, okay, I know what I'm in for. And it's a good first. Like, you can tell where, like, it's kind of like talking about Tarantino and True Romance. Everybody loves to talk about Tarantino and True Romance, where he gave off that script to Tony Scott. And I like that movie, but you can see all of the ways that Tony Scott would have picked up a Tarantino script and went, I don't like it doing this, I want to do that. And I enjoy those movies for how they play. And this movie, I feel, is in the same bracket. So, yeah. Do you see this as like a first step for Zala, Damien, or are you just like mediocre full stop? Don't even want to play with it.
I mean, I can see some of what you're saying, but like this movie, it just like there's just nothing in there that felt unique in any way for me. Like it feels like, and maybe part, a lot of it is probably because it's in a genre I don't particularly have any interest in, but it just felt like it, if you had put like Scream : Asylum, and I've been like, yeah, this is what I expected, this is what this movie has to be, there'd be some more famous, I mean, American famous people, but this is what this movie has to be. It just, like, none of it, like, I didn't get any kind of vibe off of this movie that, you know, this will fall away and Bone Tomahawk would be what happened. No, I just didn't. This movie is just, there's nothing there. Like, I can't even come up with, like, something specific to point at and be like, you know, this is why I don't like this movie. I don't think there's anything I dislike about the movie, but there's definitely nothing here for me. It's just not a movie for me.
I mildly disliked how much the main, I don't want to call him the main bad guy, but like the most menacing looking inmate.
Yeah.
I've forgotten what name he had. I'm like looking him up on the IMDb page. Harry, right? Played by Richard Brake, where I just kept staring at him being like, I've seen you in things.
Yeah. He's like the Kingsman guy in a lot
is
of
the one that you're probably mainly thinking of. But yeah, he's a bad guy just generally.
Yeah, he's just a bad guy in insert movie here. I'm sure he's made movies with Seagal. He seems like that type of person.
I mean, let's not talk about Seagal. Like, I want to make bad jokes.
I grew up with Steven Seagal being, and I'm putting in the heaviest quotations here, an action star. and he has been replaced by Vin Diesel. And I'll take that.
I think the difference is, at least as far as I can tell,
mm-hmm.
Vin Diesel doesn't seem to have the same self-seriousness that Seagal has.
Right, but any movie that Steven Seagal would have been back when he was a star, mm-hmm. is just you just copy replace him with Vin Diesel and it works. And I prefer Vin Diesel. Vin Diesel seems to be having fun in his movies,
mm-hmm.
where Steven Seagal seems like a real monster.
I don't know what movie his face I kept seeing him in. It's Batman Begins.
I can't, like, I'm, part of me wants to say yes, but I'm just lying to myself.
Is he chill? Is he Joe Chill?
He's Joe Chill.
Okay. Yeah.
And you know, it's one of those things because I've watched that movie so many times, like his face mm-hmm. is just there and you're like, that face.
Yeah, but it's a face where you could have said any movie, Andros. You could have said, oh, I know where his face is from, A Shark's Tale, and I'd have gone, I guess.
I was kind of half hoping, scrolling down his IMDb, I would have found a movie with Seagal to mention, but no, I don't see one that I know.
Yeah, he was one of the faceless bad guys in Iron Man. Like, you could have come up with any movie, dog.
But yeah.
Yeah.
This movie is pretty good. Like, I'm to the point where I actually kind of like it in my mind. Like, you know, it's just one of those.
Yeah, I don't have anything to dispute any of that. I mean, except the ending.
Yeah.
they're being a bit cute at the end, but I get it. Yeah, like, you have to come up with something to make your movie stand up.
They did an American Fiction ending.
Yeah, it didn't, but I get it.
So yeah, that I don't have anything more to talk about Blackout. Okay. I mean, could I just play the Redman Method Man album?
I mean, I would very much enjoy that. All the time, 100% of the time.
Can I tell you how upset I was? So, like, I loved that album when it came out.
Yeah.
And I listened to it, like, within the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that the big song, the Serial Killer song.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know back when I was listening to it, like, every other day. Whenever it came out, I didn't know that that was a sample of the Psycho score.
Mm-hmm. And sorry, which album is this?
Blackout. Method Man Redman album.
Oh, okay. So because when you said the sample of the Psycho, you know that Busta Rhymes took Psycho as well in
Extinction. But I didn't know that was a Psycho sample at that point either.
Me either.
But yeah. I'm like, wait, people can sample movies? That's cheating. I thought we were just doing old music. Anyways, moving along into what we've been watching. Mm-hmm. I have to report back to Damien and say I've watched American Fiction.
Yes.
I like American Fiction. I like it very, very much.
Yes.
Point one. They had me staring at the screen for like forever, being like, that's in Living Single Girl.
Mm-hmm.
And my brain trying to think, when last have I seen her in anything?
The answer is the 90s.
in Living Single?
Yes.
Is it bad that I love everything about this movie that has nothing to do with the plot of the book?
No, I think that is the point of the movie. I think that is what they were trying to do.
And that's how I felt leaving the movie, where I'm like, I'm okay with this because I feel like the book is supposed to just, the whole story of him with the book and the publisher and like creating this farcical inner community story of hood black people,
mm-hmm.
black America. is supposed to be the part you ignore, but like it's almost every scene about it, where it's like, even where he's like all the things that are in the trailer, right, where he's just like doing up the voice and pretending he's a crew, all of those things. Yeah. Everything I love about the movie is just him and his family.
Yeah.
Right? And the rom-com-y story of this movie.
Yeah, I think you've watched the movie in the way the movie was intended to be watched. I think the movie, like, the more I think about the movie, the more I want to go read the book to see if the book, like, differs from the movie in any way. But the more I think about this movie, and I can't wait to watch it again, the more I realize just how clever all of it is. Because it is a commentary on how ridiculous, you know, the publishing industry is, and America as a whole, when it comes to one specific type of black story. And the entire movie is him just, you know, he's just like, you know what? He was doing it as a drunken joke, and then it took off. And instead of the movie focusing on that part and giving, you know, like, and falling victim to the thing it's trying to mock, it just told another story altogether. But all of the trailer is about this over-the-top man pretending to be this gangster or whatever, and the movie is not about that at all. But I didn't want to tell you that when you were going into the movie. I wanted the same thing that happened to me, the trailer, to color what you think the movie is, and then the movie is not that at all. The movie is like maybe 15 minutes of that, and the rest of the movie is just about him and his crazy family.
It's perfect.
Yeah, it's so good.
That's upsetting. No, I don't think I want to watch it.
Oh, no, it's still funny. That is the thing. Like,
all right, hold on.
Despite
Damon,
the fact that
Damon,
they cut a Damon. Trailer about it being that. No, I'm ignoring him.
We can stop lying. Yeah. It's entirely just a joke.
Yeah. Red Man and Method Man shows up. It's How High Part 3 is what it Yeah, movie's fantastic. I can't wait to watch that movie again and again and again.
At the end of the movie, you discover it was really the extra season of Westworld.
Yeah.
American Fiction is pretty good, and I was very afraid of that movie for a long time.
Douglas, there's a part where he starts writing the book, and you see, like, what he's writing is visualized in his living room, and it's a father and son having a conversation. And when, like, there's a part where the father has to turn to him as the writer and go, there's no way this is what I would say. And you're just like, all right, movie. This movie knows exactly what it is doing. I have full confidence now. And again, there is a MVP performance by not Jeffrey Wright in this movie. And it is the best parts of the movie. Every single time.
If Michael Jai White does not show up in this movie, I'm going to...
Someone better than that shows
better,
up.
Better.
I'm not calling the name because he was going to give away what the entirety of the joke is. But someone better than Michael Jai White shows up in this movie. Listen, this movie is great. It is a great movie. If only Declan Tyrone set the bar so high for what a movie that is mocking black people movies in quotations is. Like, it set the bar so high that no, like, if Declan Tyrone didn't come out, I'd have probably had this movie higher. But I knew what the bar was for last year, and it is good, but it's not Tyrone good.
There's only one thing that my mind wanted from this movie that I didn't get. Mm-hmm. And I won't talk about that until
Douglas watches it, yeah.
And I'm pretty sure he's going to tell me we all thought the same thing.
So good.
But yeah. So yeah, American Fiction, pretty good. Will it win the Academy Award for Best Picture? Who cares?
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
I cannot tell the last time. But I think there was that time Andrew was like, oh, we need to talk about the Oscars.
Yeah, we did podcast. That a few times.
And I think that might be the genuinely the... I think whatever year Silence won, or what was that? No, it's not Silence. What?
No, we were done long by no, long, man, long time by then.
It's the black and white silent film. What was the name of that movie?
Oh, you're talking about the
Artist?
The Artist,
yes. I think that's the last time Andrew was like, yeah, we have to watch this. Because I think we're taking bets on who would win. We're doing all sorts of shenanigans. We had a fantasy league one time. It was great. We used to have fun on this podcast.
But I mean, yeah. And I guess the only other thing I'll talk about is Fargo season 5 ended. And in the rankings of Fargo, it's not the best season. It's not the Chris Rock season, so it's not the worst season. It's between 2 and 3.
Wow.
I really enjoyed the season of Fargo. I didn't know I'd like Juno Temple this much, being the lead.
Just to clarify, are you saying that this season is better than the third season and worse than the second season? Or are you saying this season is either the second best or the third best season?
Second best or third best season.
Okay.
And it's for me to think about whether I care as to where seasons 1 and 2 go.
I need to actually watch this season. I started and I watched the first episode and then I did not continue for reasons.
Yeah. Show's really good. Juno Temple, really good. They have a man there in a kilt who later in the show, he speaks in a manner that, like, later in the show, you understand he's like, he believes he only has a limited number of words to say. So he doesn't waste words.
And like Eddie Murphy.
And it's great. What him name? Mad Men as Roy Tillman, the right wing sheriff man, incredible. Seeing the guy from New Girl in this show, wonderful. This show is just filled with just people playing parts that are just fun. I even love seeing Holly Hunter, as I always do. And nobody will convince me that I want to tell you the man's name is Shaky Graves, but I know that's not his name.
That is a person, though. That is the stage name of a performer that I really enjoy listening to.
I know that. I know that's. Of course it is. I know that's a stage name. I know that's why my brain says the name of the character is Shaky Graves. Ridiculous. But it is.
He's great. He's just like, would you call him folk singer? I don't know what kind of music he's.
The name of the character is Danish Graves. But I continue to call him Shaky Graves throughout the 100%. Entire show, and he's played by Dave Foley. And oh, he is perfection. The show just continues to be what it is. It is a Midwest crime show in which you get to have the comedy of Midwestern kindness in crime, where people are just standing having Mexican standoffs, and they're like, should we say please first? And it's fun. I'd never thought that the Coen brothers would invent a genre like this, but they did. I want to say they invented it, and no one can prove me wrong.
You're right.
But yeah, Fargo season 5, really, really good. So yeah, that's all I really have to talk about. Okay. I don't want to talk about the bad things.
Sure. I'll talk about the bad things. I watched Maestro. I want to watch it. It's 2.5 hours. You
me
won't get
too.
Back.
Is it all right, not it's good? 2.5 hours.
You all, right, what all right, Damien. Don't. All right, Damien. Is yeah. this Oscar bait bad, or is yeah. this like, or it's just straight Oscar
from
bait
frame
bad.
One, he is in old people prosthetics and makeup, and he's doing the most. He's doing the most. And you get to the end of the movie and you're like, wow, you've told no story here. This is unacceptable. Like, sure. If Andrew is able to do the thing that Douglas and I tend to struggle with, which is isolate a performance out of a movie, then maybe there's something here. But he's no Benicio. He's not, like,
I think for all his charisma.
Yeah, for all his charisma, he's no Benicio. I'm not just going to stare at him for 2 hours and pretend that there's a movie there. There's no movie here. It is pure Oscar bait. It is about a maestro. He's telling his own story. He's now old and he's going back. And the old clips are 4:3 and black and white something. Like, the movie is doing the most. But there's nothing to like here. I know why the movie is made. I just don't. I'm telling both of you. Are you going to watch this movie? Are you going to try?
I don't know if I'll watch it. Like,
because you like the guy, you'd be like, there has to be something here, right? And then you're going to watch it and you're going to be like, boy, there's nothing here, is there? It is just us. It is pure. It reminds me a lot of The Aviator. Right? You remember when they were like, we have to get this beautiful man an Oscar by any means necessary? And they did everything they could, and everyone was like, I guess this movie's fine, but why would anyone want to watch this? It is worse than The Aviator.
Are you saying naughty things like about The Aviator?
The time.
Yeah. What I'm
why,
saying.
Why don't you like The Aviator? What do you have against you Aviators?
The Aviator is not a good
movie. Aeroplanes take me across the world. Okay.
I want you guys
they're
to focus.
Very good.
We were young and dumb once. We'd allow directors to trick us.
He's invalidated his entire argument. I might like Maestro now.
What I'm saying is that movie is just a vehicle to get Leo an Oscar nod. And it didn't work. And
Damon,
like,
I think
this
we need
won't
to move
work.
On.
All right, fine. Let's move on to cartoons. Andrew Robinson told me to watch something called Mushoku Tensei. I've gotten through season one. This anime sucks, and I will not be watching season two.
You're telling me you're going to give up the second season in which he goes through this painful story of trying to cure his erectile dysfunction?
So that is the thing, Douglas. There is a surprising amount of nudity that Andrew said nothing about. Andrew was very keen to avoid the fact that there's a lot of nakedness in this for no reason. It is not fan service. It is just there for me. And no, I do not want to watch him cure his erectile dysfunction in season two. No, thank you. And the final bad thing I am currently, I don't think it's done yet. It might be done. I didn't watch the last episode. Reacher season 2 is out, and boy, it is the closest thing I've watched in a while that is giving off heavy CW vibes. You know when you're watching something and you know it's bad? You're like, I keep watching this, but I know deep down in my heart that this is garbage. But I keep showing up to watch this, and I don't know why. There's something pulling me towards watching this bad show that is bad, and it is not trying anymore to be good. It is just bad.
Damian White, I too have been watching this television show by the name of Reacher. I, however, am a few episodes behind, but
yeah.
I would fully and wholeheartedly endorse what you just said a while ago.
Bad. It is. But
we keep watching it.
Yeah, it feels like The Flash was the perfect distillation of what this is, where there's something there that hooks you and you're like, this could be good, but it never gets there. But you keep watching, like there's a hope somewhere that he'll do some revenging, because he's a giant monster of a man, and you're like, there's gonna be some revenging here. I can see where this could be good. And it just, it is not even attempting to go there. And you're just like, what is wrong with this show? Is it me? Is it the show? Something is off. And then you just watch the next episode. And I do not, I would not recommend any of the things I've talked about. This is just pure warnings. Just don't. Luckily, there was so much sports. AFCON started, the playoffs started, basketball is in like mid-season, so it's getting real fun. And my friend just sent me something that said Joel Embiid scored 70 points tonight. So as soon as this is done, I'm going to go watch a human being score 70 points in a basketball game.
I think as someone living in Toronto, I have to boo the minute I hear Joel Embiid's name.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, boo?
I mean, you guys sold off the last vestiges of your team that could possibly be good. Siakam is gone. So I don't even think legally the Raptors are a professional basketball team for the rest of the season. I think you guys have relegated yourselves or something. Like, ridiculous. But sports has been so good that this feels like payment for having good sports. Me putting myself through 2.5 hours of Oscar bait and what was it, like five-ish hours of one of the worst animes. Andrew Kondos is in trap.
I legitimately like that show.
This is entrapment, is what he put it on the list.
I think it's one of the best fantasy animes
of the year, and I decided, without telling anyone, I'm going to make sure everything that is on any of these best lists, I need to see, I need to validate. And this is just garbage. I'm not watching season 2, I refuse. And Douglas is well aware of what Reacher is, and we don't recommend it at all in any way, shape, or form. But watch AFCON, it's been fun, and every year the NFL playoffs are... The football robot almost lost. And my favorite player, Lamar Jackson...
Go Detroit.
...is looking spec... Listen, I do not care. I need people to hear this because I've had two arguments this week about this very same thing. I do not care if Patrick Mahomes is a better football player. That is not my concern. I am not playing these games. Lamar Jackson is my favorite player because when he plays, there's joy. And that is all I want. His first MVP season was so good that if he never won another football game, my favorite thing that I've seen in football since I've been watching it is Lamar Jackson's first MVP season. So, yes, Mahomes is probably a better football player, but that is not my concern. I'd like him to win a Super Bowl so that people can stop talking.
I watched the highlights of the last playoff round this morning because I had no time to watch actual games.
Fair enough.
And I remember checking the score of the Ravens game and my brain getting too excited. So I've made a life decision to be invested in the Texans.
Yeah.
And it's really a future life decision. I know they're not ready to do anything.
Yeah.
Right? But when I saw the score 10-all at halftime, I got excited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was
and then the Ravens were like, all right, we shook off all the rust. And then they squeezed the life.
Right.
Damian, I'd like to say you're welcome. I started watching that game during when the second half started, so it's my fault why Lamar just buck wild.
Yeah, man, I'll take that. it's like...
Yeah, seeing those highlights of Lamar going crazy. Yeah, I'm like,
he is...
Yeah.
It is scary.
But I'm on the Lions this year until that wheel falls off.
Listen, in my heart,
then I'm just anti 49ers.
I've hated Jared Goff for years. He was trash for years.
Is that where he is now?
Yes, I know he's in.
Oh
the
no! Wait, no! That's not acceptable. He can't win anything. Well. No.
But here's the thing: it's Dan Campbell, the coach of the Lions, is so good and so entertaining that he got me to stop hating Jared Goff. A thing I did not think was possible. That man says he's going to bite kneecaps in his first press conference. And people used it to mock him because, of course, the Lions will never be good. And in one season, everyone was like, oh my God, this team is probably going to be good. And he doesn't care about analytics. He doesn't care about anything. That man just, his entire mentality is we are going to go win this football game. And that is all he cares about, and it is glorious. I want the Lions to win, but I'd prefer Lamar to win because there's people who still hate Lamar. No one hates the Lions. I want Lamar to win so that people can shut up about it, so I can just have him win one so that no one can talk to me anymore. But yes,
which I don't wrong you for. If...
Yeah. Yeah, it's the KD thing. I love KD the entire time. And he went to Golden State and crushed everybody and then left. It didn't matter if he doesn't win anything ever again. He has the rings now, so no one can argue with me whether or not I am a psychopath.
He could have just spent the $23,000, to be quite honest.
Yeah,
so,
could have. Yeah, that's true. They sell them on eBay.
So anyways,
Douglas
outside
Robinson.
Of us talking about AFCON, anything else we wanted
so
to?
Good. Oh my God.
Yes,
that's
so
an important
a few
part
things.
Of AFCON yet, and it's so good.
Yeah, AFCON is fun. But I've watched a few things. And we can just run through it quickly. And first of all, I'll get the serious things out the way. Oh, Apple TV has a new television show that goes by the name of Criminal Record. It's British. It's about police. It stars Peter Capaldi. It's good. I enjoy it. But it's serious, so let's not get into that. Now let's get into the good shit, the good stuff. Criterion gave me a nice Christmas present recently, and I've begun going through it. And the first movie that I watched, the only movie that I watched this week, 2 weeks, however long it's been since our last episode, was a movie by the name of The Young Master. Starring one Jackie of the Chans. Mm-hmm. This movie is fun, as one can expect from Jackie Chan. I feel like it didn't end well, but it was still an enjoyable time, which is all I require.
Jackie Chan plus Karachi.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Exactly.
Is this the one with the chopstick food fight where they're fighting for food with chopsticks? No, that's not. Okay.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Chopstick food fight. Is that the one, the hyena one?
That might be the hyena one. Maybe
I think
I'm
it's
mixing
the hyena
them up.
One. Okay, I haven't watched that one yet, even though we've all watched the both of those movies, the hyena movies. I think it's the first hyena movie you're talking about. And that one too is in the Criterion set, or those two are in the Criterion set. I also watched a few TV shows, and to go through them quickly. As you know, Andrew, sometimes my parents demand of me that I, tell them what shows to watch. Other times they demand that I watch a show, and I generally don't watch the shows that they demand. However, they demanded that I watch this show by the name of Run the Burbs. I said, no, why would I? Come on. And then obviously Instagram was listening when they spoke. And all of a sudden I got all sorts of reels showing me exactly what this television show was about. And I unfortunately caved to peer pressure, to the pressure of the social networks, exactly. And said, you know what, I think I need to watch this show. And I watched the first episode and I said, you know what, it's not perfect, but I think I might have to watch this show. Damian, I am not going to demand that you watch this show. I'm not going to recommend that you watch this show.
I'm looking However, at a trailer and it is giving off a certain kind of vibe.
I will say to you that this feels like the poor man's Fresh Off the Boat. So, yeah.
The but first episode. Are we being racist? Because is that racism? Is that what that is?
Oh, very much so. This is literally the Canadian Fresh Off the Boat, by the way. it's actually more Canadian than it is American, in the sense that them not being white is not an issue.
Okay.
Or at least so far it isn't.
Right.
It's not even that's like not, highlighted. Yeah, it's just like we are anything. Exactly. It's just okay. It just happens to be.
Okay.
The one of the
I
big
see
things
the CBC
for me,
logo in the poster on IMDb.
Yeah, that's
so,
yeah, I saw that in the trailer and I was like, okay. Yeah. But this just looks. And Doug, I was like, Doug is going to tell me that this is Fresh Off the Boat.
It kind of is, but it's not as good so far, to be honest.
I mean, Doug, so few things in life.
Yeah. And one of the things for me where I was like, oh, this is definitely coming from a completely different perspective, is in literally in the first episode, it's a show about a family, and they have a son and a daughter, and the daughter is like getting very excited because she's lusting after this other girl in the community. She's like, ooh, look at that girl. Oh, she's sexy. I want. And there is no, they don't feel the need to have some sort of awkward explanation of, okay, she is gay or whatever.
Right.
She,
she's a girl. They're just matter of fact about it. Yeah.
It's like, you know, there is no coming out story. There is no, oh no, there is some awkwardness. No, it's just that's what
that's what is
the
happening.
Story the situation is no big deal, and that you would never see something like that in an American TV show. They'd be like, all right, we're gonna have to make a thing out of this. And that's probably one of the reasons why I'm like, look at this show. And
progress.
Of course, exactly. And also, Damian, I don't know if you enjoy this fella as much as I do or did when I was young, but there's something very wonderful and nostalgic about having Cardinal Official just show up in the show in the first episode.
Wow.
Yeah. And I
the
do
real,
really
like the not someone named Cardinal.
No. The actual.
It's not like a Marcos Garvey situation.
No, it is not.
Where did they find him?
And he is the only Canadian rapper.
So he just rolls up, like you could see him at like the carnival every year.
He's
right?
just
he just
there.
Like shows
he's just
up
loose in Canada.
I do enjoy, and they play his big song that
of course
he had at the time. And
why
I was
else
like, oh,
would
yeah,
you put him
Cardi
in the show
rocks
if
the party.
Not to play.
I love this. And there is like this show, the two parents in the show are so like self-referential. They make all sorts of jokes about Fast and the Furious and whatever. It's actually so far quite enjoy the show. I've only watched two episodes, but I think this might be my
if
new
you say something
30-minute
fresh,
show.
Yeah, if you say something as Fresh Off the Boat vibes, then the answer is yes.
Yeah.
I have a question. And this is more me just checking if I'm just, my brain doesn't allow for this. You talk about this show and you talk about Fresh Off the Boat. And it makes me think about general sitcom chat, right? And television shows that we talk about. So for example, and please contain your excitement.
Okay.
You talk about shows like Peaky Blinders.
Right.
Right. Where we're like, it's like this sprawling, I mean, it's not as long as like a lot of American TV shows, but you know, it's a sprawling multi-season long tail of like things going on. Right. And because it's like a serious dramatic story, I find it a lot easier to chug along with that than sitcoms mm-hmm. these days. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like with sitcoms, when like you bring them to me and they're like 4 or 5 seasons deep, like I can't do it. Right. And I don't know if that's just weirdly me. Like, for example, Fresh Off the Boat, I tried to watch a while back and mm-hmm. I think I gave up somewhere mid season 2.
Yeah.
And it's nothing to do with the show is inherently not good or anything. It's just the sitcom vibe of like watching right. it like in a mm-hmm. condensed version. Like yeah. I kind of get bored of it and I just yeah. want to move on to something else.
I can see that.
And I think of it, there was another one. There was another big TV show that went on forever, which was like
probably the Goldbergs, right?
Yep, that's yeah. the exact one, the Goldbergs. Mm-hmm. And I went with that a lot longer, but I eventually tapped out just being like, I'm kind of bored of this mm-hmm. this joke.
No, I get that. And I'm the same way. And actually, weirdly, Fresh Off the Boat didn't bore me, really. I think probably the last season or two was not as good as the rest, but that happens. I too had the same problem with the Goldbergs. I tapped out at some point, but that was a show I really enjoyed at that one time.
I think the last sitcom that I was able to stay with was, I'm blanking on the name, The Good Place.
One we were watching like in time, and that's kind of what I'm talking about. Yeah. The shows that we catch like while it's happening. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you'd watch it whether it's week to week or whether you'd mm-hmm. maybe do a season. I think The Good Place is easier for that because The Good Place was shorter seasons on top of everything mm-hmm. else.
Yeah.
Versus someone tells you, hey, Fresh Off the Boat's there. You got 7 mm-hmm. seasons you can watch.
Yeah.
Or.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so much content to watch. I think sitcoms really are catering to a TV audience. But
I just want to make sure it's not just me being a broken person.
No, I don't think so. I think back when like there was like appointment TV, sitcoms make sense then because you're coming every week. You don't have to really remember where they were or what they're doing. You just need a vague understanding of what the premise of the show is. And then they make you laugh or try to make you laugh a half hour. And you're like, oh, that was okay. And then you move on. But now that everything is trying to be the next Game of Thrones, you run into these problems. It's not just you. Not you at all.
All right, cool.
Douglas Robinson, what else have you been watched in?
Yeah. One last thing. And this is one that I really am enjoying.
AFCON. Oh, yeah, we talked about that.
AFCON!
Hulu has a new whodunit starring Mandy Patinkin by the name of Death and Other Details. I'm actually kind of upset with this show, though, because clearly I joined a little bit late. I joined the party. Either I joined the party late or they dropped more than one episode one time. And I pressed play, watched the first episode. I was like, ooh. I think I like this. It said, would you like to watch the second episode? And I said, yes, please. And by the end of the second episode, I said, I really like this. And then the next day when I tried to watch the third episode, it had disappeared. And when I searched for it in Hulu, Hulu said, yeah, but I mean, you're going to have to wait a week at least for this. And so I am very upset with Hulu. Listen here, Bob Iger. I know that Disney Plus doesn't have a lot of... Well, actually, you have a lot of content now, so you need to stop it. But at one time, I know that Disney Plus didn't have a lot of content. And so you had to stretch it out, you know, kind of when you don't have enough stuff to go into the soup, then you make some broth or you chop it up fine so it will, you know, it will serve for everybody. You don't need that anymore, okay? You've got at least 1,000 Star Wars shows, 5,000 Marvel shows, and all of the rest of it. Can you please, right? Especially on Hulu. Just give me everything one time. Speaking of giving me everything one time, actually, there's one other thing that I watched that I was very upset about. Did you folks watch Echo?
No. What?
I've not watched it yet, no.
Don't. Do not.
What? Doug.
Do not.
Douglas. I want to see Kingpin.
Doug, that show is bad.
Douglas, there's not a chance on the face of the earth.
That show is actively bad. No, Andrew, I know you are going to watch it for the same reason I watched it, because it is next. But it is bad.
One of the shows that I did really enjoy once this Disney Plus madness started was the Hawkeye one.
Yes,
the Hawkeye one was Hawkeye fun because they understood the assignment. We're going to make this stupid. And the thing about the Hawkeye one that made no sense, even while I was watching it, was the echo pads. I was like, who is this? What is happening here? Who is she? Who asked for this?
So Damon. And
so when they were like, hey, we're going to make a show out of this one, I was just like, for who?
It's fine. Make the show. It could have been good. But listen here. First of all, right? All of the episodes came out one time. And so I was like, ooh, this is great. Right? Tick one off the box.
Yes.
Damien, I think there's literally 4 fucking episodes.
That's great.
You say that as if that's a bad
thing. Time to watch. Yeah.
Well, I guess, you know what? It turned out to be a blessing because this show is bad. Every single episode was bad.
Hey, Douglas, I watched What If Season 2, and you know what I would have liked? For it to be one episode so that I could have stopped right off the bat.
Funnily enough, I watched that second season, or rather, I have started watching that second season and have only watched the first episode so far.
Yeah, you don't have to go any further.
Damon, I really like that first episode.
You are high.
There is, I actually hated every single other episode.
Yeah.
As in the whole first season, I hated it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
I don't know why I even started watching it, but I clicked play and I was like, oh. This one's decent. So I kind of want to watch more.
There's one episode with like some like indigenous people, this indigenous tribe that the Spanish came to like take over, and the Tesseract fell into a river and it took them to this magic place that gave them powers. That is one episode that feels useful. Literally everything else, I'm just like, Who is like, I don't care what they do for season 3, the answer, at least right now, is no thank you.
Yeah.
What was the first episode? I don't even remember what the first
episode was. The detective story with the robot.
What if, and I don't mean Marvel, what if,
mm-hmm.
what if it's Mashoka Tensei season 3?
No cartoons for you, Andrew.
I mean, all right. What's happening in season 3? What does he do in season 3?
Oh, wait, sorry. Is that not the show that
I was being upset
about?
Yeah, yeah.
I just wanted to make sure. Okay. Yes,
I want Andrew to pitch me what kind of ludus he's going to be in season 3.
He finds a way home.
No, thank you.
All right. So, by the way, I want to roll back to Echo for a little bit because... I didn't get to say all I wanted to say. So I'm also upset with the fact that they don't understand what do they call this thing? Marvel One Shot or Spotlight or whatever it's called, where they claim you don't need to watch any other series to understand what
is happening.
So this is
can we ignore all of their marketing?
That is hilarious.
They're just wrong.
I know, but hold on.
Imagine telling someone to pay for Disney Plus and be like, hey,
also,
in this corner over here, so is this also, character that was showed up in one thing 4 years ago.
Also, more importantly, you don't have to watch the other things.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. No, first off, I agree with that, right? I hope, because I probably don't have a good point of view on this because I actually... Mm-hmm. do and have watched all of the other things.
Yeah, like but everyone I would hope, else who exactly. pays for Disney Plus.
But I would hope that they have done good storytelling or good making of these TV shows where, sure, there are some details that you will know if you watch all the others, but if they do it right, you don't need to watch others to know to enjoy it at least, right? You might not understand every detail, but whatever. That happens. But they made a big thing out of this, Damian. They said Echo is our first one. We're going to make a few of them, but Echo is the premiere. It is the first show. I think they call it Marvel Spotlight, where they intentionally, they're like, listen, you don't have to watch anything else. It's on its own. It's not like you don't need a 5-year course. Yeah. I was like, all right, fair enough.
What they really meant
is in the first episode, they will spend 40 minutes showing you the show that she came from.
Ah, beautiful.
On the last episode, last season on Echo that you did not see is, it was just what happened last time. And I got so upset. For them.
didn't they remember that they made Moon Knight? If Moon Knight is not Marvel Spotlight, I don't know what is.
I forgot about that, and 100%.
Good. Yeah, man. Yeah, I think it's
The marketing people pretended they needed to say these things out loud.
Yeah. I think Marvel needs to just have a sit down and go, hey, can we make some good movies again? I think we need to focus less on this thing where we're trying to tell one long story. Like, we got away with that in the first part, but that wasn't what we were really doing. We were just making movies and then tacking on some horseshit at the end. How about we go back to doing that? How about we just make these movies good and then at the end come up with some horseshit that has nothing to do with this movie you're currently watching? Just be like, just do that again and stop this foolishness. Douglas, there's a new Indiana Jones game coming out that I think you're going to need to play as an Indiana Jones purist.
It looks good.
At this stage, I don't need a
Machine Games Indiana Jones game, but it looks good.
Yeah.
At this stage, I don't even know if Red Dead Horse is going to get me to buy.
No, Red Dead Horse is too much. It's too much for you. But this Indiana Jones thing will probably be like 7-8 hours, and it will be straightforward enough. Like, you have
turn
to learn
the difficult
horse
to
mechanics.
Very, very easy. Just run through it.
Yeah, yeah. Just press up and fire and enjoy what might be the only other good Indiana Jones story that has come out since the '80s. It's been dark times. We got Crystal Skull. What was the other one? What was the one that came out?
The Dial of Destiny. That is the one that just came out.
Sweet, merciful Father.
I still haven't watched it, but
it's better than Crystal Skull, but that's not a high bar.
So you're saying it's incredible?
Is it good? Nope. And Mads is in it, and it's still no good. Swing and a miss. And he's old. They need to make that man lie down. I don't want to see him in anything ever again.
I don't think he wants to lie down at this stage.
Fair enough.
What he needs to do is to be in season 2 of Shrinking. That show was amazing.
I'm sure they're going to do a season 2. Apple needs to replace Ted Lasso, so.
Yeah,
it's a new year.
Right?
Andrew has freed me from.
One of these days, your heart will stop and play. It's fine.